This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope, East Hawaii. As we approach Christmas and prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our thoughts go out to those who do not yet know Him. In this message entitled Harvest Time, Pastor Scott explains how we can think of those in terms of a harvest and also how we can know our place in that harvest. This message was delivered on December 10th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning. Hey, if you didn't get your daily bread yet, please grab one. It's a really good daily reading, just a supplement to your daily Bible reading. It's at the greeting table, but grab one on the way out. I'd like to welcome you. Merry Christmas. I guess Pastor Aaron, because he's up here, he gets to tell you that first, so I get to tell you that second. Right, Merry Christmas. Hey, it's a wonderful time of the year. Oh, I can finally sleep with a blanket. Isn't that nice? I still keep one fan on, though. It's a habit, but it's so nice to be able to sleep with a blanket and just one fan, because usually it's no blanket and two fans. But it feels so nice to have a blanket on because, man, this is like the first time in years it's been this cold. And isn't it refreshing? Yeah, they had snow in Houston. Man, that's crazy, yeah? Texas. And I think New Orleans. We have friends there. They showed videos of, I mean, there was snow there too. It's like, wow, what is happening, yeah? It's getting cold. All right. Well, it is harvest time. You know, it's a wonderful time of the year where we get to harvest. I think God is calling us. He's ringing the bell. Hey, speaking of the ringing, yeah, how many of you, when you go in the store, you guys give to that red kettle thing? Isn't it nice when I come out and I put a dollar or so inside and I tell them, thank you so much for doing what you do. And I smile and I tell them Merry Christmas. And They one of them wanted to give me a ticket to a free dinner at the Salvation Army. Said, "I'm fine, save that for somebody else." But I want to remind you, just carry some dollar bills in your wallet, and every time you see that, give it. I know it's for a good cause, so just be givers, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. But harvest time is just a beautiful time that we get to invite people to come and join us. A fruitful harvest requires a faithful witness. Christmas and Easter, that's like two of the most important times of the year for us. And these, I believe, are key harvest times in our lives. A harvest time is when, I believe, people are most open to receive an invitation to come join us here or to receive Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Harvest time is year-round here at New Hope East Hawaii because you can bring your family and friends anytime, and every Sunday we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's year-round harvest time, but Christmas and Easter is like the time when people are most open. I think they're out there. They're out there, and they're saying in their mind, please invite me to church. Please invite me to church. I want to come, but I don't want to say, can I come with you to church? Because that might kind of be awkward for them. But they're saying, please invite me. So what do? We invite them. Amen? Yeah, I remember sometimes I would be afraid because of what the response I might get. And I got more no's than yeses, but at least I did what I was called to do, is give out that invitation. Now, there are different seasons, and there are different fruit, and, you know, every season has its fruit. And now is a season where, I mean, there's people out there walking around, and they were looking for hope. If you are a farmer, you'll be looking at your fields, thinking, okay, when is the perfect time to harvest? Because if I harvest too late, the fruit gets to the market rotten. If I harvest too early, then it will not ripen. And just like with our harvest season for harvesting people, man, if we don't get to them, if we don't get to them when we need to get to them, then either they might pass away, which is unfortunate, or they might be reached by a cult, which makes our job that much harder. So the harvest time is now. I mean, I've been to the mall, and I see people going from store to store, wandering, looking for that perfect gift for that special someone. How many of you been there, done that? And my wife has everything she needs, man. What else can I get her? Yeah, right. Sorry, thinking in case I'm lying and then the lightning would come and pfft. But I see them and, you know, they're going from store to store looking, searching. And all this time we have that perfect gift for them. The gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. We may have found it, but so many are still searching. There are so many out there lost, searching for answers, wandering around, thinking that they found their meaning in money, but when they got all their money, they realized it doesn't do anything for them. The thing is, we know what they need, amen? And we have what they need. And even if we share what we have, it doesn't lessen what we have, amen? It just helps us. It strengthens us. It increases our faith. They're family members, friends, ripe for the harvest. And we need to get to them. We need to share with them. We need to explain the good news of great hope. Now, if we were called to go and share with our family and friends, then that's what we need to do. We need to be obedient to what God calls us to do. This is what God was telling Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3:17-19. And it's kind of bold when I read this, like, wow. If I told that to some of the people, they would definitely run in the other direction. But I think the whole point of this scripture is obedience. It says, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die." I mean, imagine going into the mall and telling somebody, "You're surely going to die." Guaranteed, they ain't coming to this church after that. "And you not warn them or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked ways that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity." So he's saying if Ezekiel didn't warn them of the incoming danger, then they're going to die. And then he said, "But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered yourself." So God already told Ezekiel that, hey, go warn these people about the upcoming judgment, about their wickedness. Go tell them. But they're not going to listen to you. Oh, I hate that. Then why should I go tell them? Right? Like you tell your children, clean your room. They're not going to listen to me, so why should I tell them? They're not going to listen anyway. But he told them, go. Why should I bother to go tell them? God wanted the people to know that they have been warned. So here's the thing. Ezekiel's job was to obey God. Okay? For us, for you and I, we are responsible to tell others about God, his judgment, his message of salvation, the good news, the great hope. And although we are not held responsible for how they respond, We're not. We are just called to be obedient. If God tells you to go share and invite your neighbor, then what do? Go and share and invite your neighbor. He doesn't tell you grab him by the collar, drag him out of the house and drag him in here, duct tape him to the chair and make him listen to me for 20 minutes. No, he says to go and tell him. If he tells you that, then that's what it is. As Christians, we have a responsibility, an assignment, that is to share the good news of Jesus. So number one, understand that there is a harvest. There is a harvest that we are called to go and harvest. Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus says this. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." If you look out in our communities and all the bad stuff that's happening, and you know, that's the harvest, the people who we need to reach, the ones who are hopeless, the ones who are at the end of their rope, the ones who come Christmas time, they're all alone, they're lonely, they're by themselves, their other half has passed on, they're single, they have no one. And look at us, we have a beautiful, beautiful, happy, vibrant church family that we could welcome someone into, and someone could benefit from that. That's the harvest. Jesus looked at the crowds following him and referred to them as a field ripe for harvest. Many people are ready to give their lives to Christ. If we would just show them how. Jesus commands us to pray that people respond to this need for workers. Often when we pray for something, we say, "God, help me save, get somebody saved." And when we pray that, most of the time, God will use you. God will use you. When you pray, God will use you as part of that answer to that prayer. I remember when Christy's grandmother turned 100, she kept praying and praying and praying for her salvation. And like a month before she passed away, we were in her living room, and my wife looked at me. We were about to pray, and she gives me that look. You know that look, like? And she gives me that look, and we're holding hands. She gives me that look, and she... So she gives me, so I was like, "You're supposed to pray." She gives me that look again. It's like, okay. You know that look? Your husbands, you know that look you get from your wives? You're like, "Oh, shoot. I better listen or else." So, you know, she's been praying, we've been praying. So we prayed the salvation prayer, and Grandma said amen. And then a month later, she was 100, and she went home to be with the Lord because we prayed. And oftentimes when we pray, God will use us as part of the solution. Yeah? God answers our prayers by using us. So be prepared for God to use you to show another person the way to him. I mean, if you ever led somebody in a salvation prayer to receive Jesus Christ, man, there is like no greater feeling than doing that, because their eternity is like, wow, because of your obedience. Amen. So first, we got to understand that we are servants. We are servants, and we serve God. We are nothing in and of ourselves. We, you and I, are simply God's mouthpiece. Right? And some of the things we say, God wouldn't say. Right? Especially when I'm driving. Yeah, God wouldn't say that. Where did that come from? Second, we all have different roles and responsibilities in God's family. Like man, if you was to tell me to go share with an accountant, really? I don't think we would connect. But if you go tell me to go share with a fisherman, oh, yeah, we can do that. We can go fishing, and we can use fishing illustrations as, you know, bait and catching and harvest. And when the ones come off your line, that's tag and release, right? Right, and I'm like, you're going to ask me to go reach a teacher when children don't like me? Come on. So each of us have a different... You're going to like tell me go save that surfer when I don't swim. Shoot. Right? I'm going to go paddle out there to save that surfer. Well, I might die myself. I don't think so. Third, we got to understand God is the one who causes the growth. So we share. Someone else comes along and we plant the seeds when we share. Someone comes along and they pour a little bit of water on by what they say. And then God is the one who causes the growth. So if you've been sharing and don't see nothing, don't worry about it. Because one day somebody's going to come along and drop some water on it and boom, God's going to cause the growth. Then we got to understand we are all one family in God's program. We are one in God's program, but many parts. And finally, we got to tell you, we work for God. We don't work for other people. You don't work for me. You work for God. We are all God's co-workers. Okay, so that's the deal. We know that there is a harvest. We are serving. We are God's mouthpiece. We have different responsibility. God makes a people grow. And we are all one in that program, and we all work for God. Next one, we got to identify the harvest. I mean, what is the harvest? Man, if you work with unsaved people, that's the harvest. I visited some of your workplaces, and I see what you guys got to go through. I hear the language, and I cringe, man. It's like I'm working for the church, and I'm so sheltered. And I feel for you that you guys go to these job sites and the cussing and the swearing and the profanity. And I was like, oh my, I am so sheltered. What happened to me? I used to be that guy, by the way. I really was. I mean, every other word was the F-bomb and this and that. And it's like, man, I couldn't imagine the guys working with me. Like, can't you shut this guy up? But the harvest is those that are not going to church. The harvest is not that, because sometimes, I tell you, the harvest is not that other leader in that other church, because sometimes I look at other leaders in other churches and I think, oh, I wish I had that one. I wish I had that one. But that's not the harvest, because they're already in somebody else's field. So I'm not going to go steal sheep. But here's the thing. I believe with all my heart that what we need is right here. So turn to your neighbor and tell them you are needed here. You know, like Moses. Moses was wandering around and he needed help. He needed help, and God told him, what you need is right there in your hand, that rod. And if I had that rod in my hand, I wouldn't hit you guys, no. But what I believe God told me, what I need is right here. And I'm looking at all of you. And yes, I see it. But you might be like, oh, I ain't coming back next week now. I will command them to lock the gates until we sign you up. Okay? What we need for all the different things is right here. And identifying the harvest, it's in your workplace. Might be in your own household. Might be your neighbors. Might be that place where you exercise, if you exercise. I know you need to. Might be the, for me, the harvest for me is where I like to eat. Because I like to eat many places. But the harvest is all around you. So here's the thing. Man, you got to ask God. God, give me eyes to see the harvest. You know when we go fishing and we see the rubbish fish, you throw the bread in the water and the water turns black with what we call hoggy. You know, to me, that's not the harvest because I ain't cleaning that and I don't want to eat that. But some people are like, yeah, when I see that blue flash come swimming by, who? Like the one on your cover? That's the harvest. And when I, nighttime, when I see red, all the red fish, that's the harvest. So we gotta, when you go to the mall and you see all the people, that's the harvest. I went to the hospital on Friday to visit someone, and just so happened when I was there, somebody walked in that I knew. Hasn't been in church for years. I asked him, hey, can I pray for you? So I got to pray for him. And I believe in praying for him, it planted seeds. That's the harvest. Some of those who used to come, but don't come. That's the harvest. They're all around us. Everywhere we go, they're around us. They're in front of you in traffic driving slow. That's the harvest. And what do? We cuss the harvest. No, don't. That's the harvest. It's all around you. And we got to see it. We got to look for it. And we got to be obedient to what God calls us to do. Amen? Number two, understand that you are a laborer. Yes, you see, you ever seen that movie McFarlane? Those guys go out early in the morning and work in the fields. And they labor, and then they go to school, and then after that, they go back into the field, they labor. You are a laborer. Ooh, I ain't getting my hands dirty. You are a laborer. And the world is your field. And we get to go out into the world and harvest. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever we do in the Lord is not in vain, our work. Paul says that because of the resurrection, nothing we do is useless. Sometimes we become lazy about serving the Lord because I've been at this for years. And years. We've been doing this church for 10 years. Why aren't we at 1,500 people? You know, why? It's like, thank God, because I couldn't handle 1,500 people. I have a hard time remembering 100 people's names. If I could remember 100 people's names, then he will bring 150. And if I get to know and serve 150, he'll bring 200. But at the meantime, I cannot serve 150 people, and I haven't raised enough leaders to serve 150 people. So that's why we're here. And I always say, God, I'm fine with us being like this because I get to love all of you that much more, which is selfish because we need to reach the lost, right? So, right, Grant? I'm selfish, right? You're never going to live that one down. So you are a laborer. Paul is saying because of the resurrection, nothing we do is useless. And we cannot become like complacent or lazy because we don't see results. We got to keep at it. We got to keep planting. You know, you plant 5 corns in the ground, you get 5 stalks of corn, which may produce 2 or 3 ears on a corn. But if I plant 100, wow. So the more seeds you plant, the greater the harvest is. And the harvest is right out there. Knowing that Paul thinking that, knowing that Christ won that victory, I mean, that right there should affect our life, the way we live right now. You know, we cannot let discouragement over a lack of results keep us from doing the work of the Lord. We need to work enthusiastically at every opportunity that comes our way. Remember, all we are required to do is obey God. If He tells you to invite someone. And I know all this time that I've been speaking, someone is on your mind, someone you've been thinking of, someone you may work with, someone you may live by. One of your acquaintances might be around. So you might be on your mind. And I think that's the Holy Spirit telling you to go give them an invitation. Invite them. You see, outcome isn't up to us. We obey, say, yes, Lord, I will invite this person. Bang. Outcome, that's not up to us. We are not required to drag them in here and beat them over the head with the message. Outcome is, that's up to God. So you invite them, and then you look up to the Lord. Okay, Lord, the ball is in your court now. I did what you asked me to do. Because Jesus said this in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, I am so glad because I was lost. Now I'm found. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Jesus is telling his disciples that, man, you're going to do greater works. I mean, how can we do greater works than raising the dead, right? But if you think about it, if you think about getting someone saved, man, that's raising the dead because they were dead, now they're alive. They were headed to hell, now they're headed to heaven. That's great works. The disciples, like us, we need to work in the power of the Holy Spirit to carry the good news of the kingdom to the whole world. And that's not too far-fetched enough. With email, you can reach the whole world through a computer. What do you need from us, the church, to help you reach the harvest? Do you need a scripture? Do you need a sample? Do you need something? What do I say? How do you get somebody saved? That's a good question. You should ask John next week, Sunday. Come at 8 o'clock and say, John, how do you save somebody? How do you save somebody? You feel your heart? You feel that knock? Put your hand in the chest. Feel that. You feel that? I think that's Jesus knocking at the door. What do you think? You can tell that to them. Right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation says that. Right? If you'd open that door and I'll dine with you and you with me. Simple. And sometimes when I'm in the hospital and there's no time, I just say, hey, do you know Jesus? No. Would you like to know Jesus? I'm sorry, but I'm one of those smooth talkers. I just tell it like, hey, you need Jesus? Yes. You want to pray with me? Yes, let's pray. Boom, save. Amen. Right? I mean, what else are you going to do? They're in the hospital. They're dying. I'll come back next week and I'll talk to you a little bit more. They might not be there. I'm sorry, but you got to, I mean, use Romans. Romans 3:23, 6:23, and Romans 10:9. Write that down. Tell that to them. Right? Romans 3:23, 6:23, and 10:9. Anybody can just off the top of your head recite that for me? Anybody out there? Come on. Man, I'm not doing my job. Oh, good thing it wasn't a congregational root church, then I'd be fired. But Romans 3:23, 6:23, and 10:9. Just remember those. And then you guys all know John 3:16, right? Right. So use that to get them saved. And number three, understand the eternal outcome. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Think about what is at stake here. It is the lives, the eternity of people. there you be heaven with God or eternally separated from God. We have the choice to help them be eternally with God. And I have some really, really good friends, man, out there that don't come to church. They don't, I tell them, man, heaven is you know, going to be, you know, not as full a place without you there. And I keep inviting them, and they keep telling me, no, no, no. And those are some of my good friends. That's the kind of guys I want to whack them over the head and drag them in here. But I can't do that, but I keep loving them, and I tell all my friends to share with them. And I'm actually, this is the scenario. I have some really good friends who are not saved, and I am in a battle with Satan for their soul. I am fighting with him. I mean, like, come on. You know, I'm praying for them. I'm sharing with them. I'm trying to get them to come and join us. If you need me to go to your house to pray for them, call me up. I will go and ask them to their face, hey, do you want to receive Jesus? Because it's that serious. That one person who needs to be saved, we got to get to them before they either, before they die or before they join a cult. We need to. It's that serious. Who will be in heaven because of you? Who will not be in heaven because of you? I don't want to go there. But that's a tough question. Will you let opportunities pass you by this Christmas? You say, oh, well, maybe I like Easter better because the resurrection. What if they're not here? There's no greater feeling than helping save a soul, taking them from the fire of despair to eternal life. Man, you know, one thing you can do, if people you want to invite, and they haven't been in church for years or decades or ever before, just tell them, hey, come and see. Just use that word, come and see. Kind of stirs up your curiosity. Come and see. That might get them here. Pray for them, too, before you go in and invite them. Next week, we're going to talk about who is Jesus, why did he come, and why we celebrate Christmas. Then the following week is Christmas Eve. We're going to have a short message, and then the children are going to share the good news by what they do. And that's what's coming up. But you may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And if you're here and you haven't received the greatest gift of all, that's the gift of eternal life, the gift that God gave to us. And you can do that by praying this prayer with me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Right. Lord, thank you so much. And I pray that you would open our eyes to the harvest that is out there, that you would give us to the Holy Spirit the boldness that it takes to share our faith in you, to share the good news of great joy that you came to earth to die for our sins so that we would have a way back to the Father. I pray that you would give us the words, the scriptures to share with those who are in need, those who are searching, those who are desperate, those who are all around us, our family, our friends, our co-workers. So, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the harvest, and we pray for laborers to go out into the fields to reach this harvest. Thank you so much, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What are we singing?
Go Tell It on the Mountain.
All right. Stand up. You know that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that Jesus Christ is born.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keauau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.